It's draft time. One more day. We're going to talk to Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus, and we'll get to that in just a second here on a Wednesday on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for joining us on Locked On Jaguars podcast, where we are your team every day. And thank you for making us your first listen. As always, I am beaten up, man. I'm telling you, I cannot wait until tomorrow's draft starts. But one of the highlights of the draft season is you get a chance to talk to some very special people. And we're going to talk to my guest, Mike Renner, here from Pro Football Focus, Pro Football, at PFF Mike, FPFF underscore Mike on Twitter. I know you guys see him all the time, has some of the best opinions about the draft. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. This is my Super Bowl, so it's always the most fun week. I always look forward to it all year long. I mean, my job revolves around 3 days, so how can I not?
It's amazing, though, isn't it? It's almost like bittersweet when you get to this point, when you do this every single day of the year, when everyone else is just sitting there enjoying stuff. You're already looking forward to next year. And you're already – please tell me you got a big board already, a presumptive big board for next year already.
I was doing my mock draft for 2023 earlier today. So I got some names. If you need some names, I got a few.
All right. So, look, we're going to dispel some rumors because there are a lot of people that believe that scouts found out about Trevon Walker when they did at the Combine. That's not true, is it?
No. I mean, he has been firmly on radars, I mean, since like early in this last season. Because he was kind of a part-time player prior to this year, obviously becomes like a full-time starter in that defense. And, I mean, he makes plays that no human being his size should feasibly be able to make. And, like, those pop on tape regularly. To me, the first one I really recall was the pass breakup against Florida, where he's dropping into coverage and, you know, dives to break up a pass. And I'm like, my Lord, that is a 272-pound human being looking like a legitimate off-ball linebacker. So, yeah, I do think that scouts have been on him heavily, but just wanted to know at the combine when he did test, you know, how freaky exactly he was, and obviously proved that he is an all-time for the position.
Yeah, I even had to go back, and we're talking about Trevon Walker because we're going to talk about the draft prospects of Jacksonville. But I even went back, and this is where people start getting angry at me, because what I did was I said, let me go take a real good look. Because at first I had sort of put him in that big end box of, you know, the Justin Tucks and those guys and Justin Smith. And I was just like, and those are great comparisons, but nobody takes guys like that, number one. And when we talked to Austin Gale about Hutchinson, he mentioned one of the guys he mentioned was Patrick Kearney. I said, I'm not going to say that too loud to Jaguar fans, because even though those guys had great careers, when you mention the number one overall pick, guys want Jared Allen at minimum when it comes to Hutchinson. The Bosa, one of the Bosa brothers or something. Mm-hmm. They don't want a dude that was just okay. The thing with Walker was I took a look and I just said, wait a minute, let me see what all the fuss is about. And just like you, I could probably mention five plays. Like one of them, there was a play against Auburn where Bo Nix rolled out. And out of nowhere, this dude just came like a T-Rex and just steamrolled him as he was running to the side. And I was like, geez, is this what they're talking about? So the fact that he's been on these radars, and then the fact that the tape said what it said, and then they saw the guy at the combine, and then they said, let me go back and take another look. He doesn't have bad plays on his tape, does he?
No, he's not. That's the thing. It's you're still getting a high floor type of player. Now, as a pure pass rusher, right, it's going to have to come along. Like, he may not be right out the gate quite ready to make an impact, but as a run defender, like in terms of how he takes on blocks, that sort of thing, it's not like he's going to be getting pushed off the ball. Like he's a complete, you're going to have to teach him how to play the game of football sort of project at the top of the draft. And I think that's why you see more and more people comfortable with him in that range.
Now, the thing about Aiden Hutchinson, and I just did it, you know, so I start talking about comps and I bring up all white dudes, and that's unfair. That's unfair. It's not that white guys can't play, but it's just that's a bad thing to do when a guy's going for a job and you want him to be typecast as one type of guy. So I'll try to make a habit of not doing that, because that's unfair. When you think about him also, and you talk about the traits of Trevon Walker, I think people sometimes think that you're saying that Aiden doesn't have traits, and that's not true either, is it?
No, I mean, truthfully, he is a fairly elite athlete in his own right, and elite in kind of the ways you want an edge rusher to be elite. He is agile. Like he is difficult for offensive tackles to get their hands on because he is very quick laterally. And you see that all over his tape, swim move, swim move, swim move. He doesn't even allow, you know, everyone brings up the arm length, but he doesn't even allow offensive linemen to touch him truthfully on tape a lot of the times. And then he has for a guy his size. And again, he is nearly 6'7". He is a very tall and interesting build for an edge rusher. At that size, he can bend a little for a guy, bend better than most sort of 6'7" edge rushers. And so he has the ability to play through contact still. And, you know, you see it with his rip move consistently on tape as well. So already very well advanced. And obviously as a fourth year senior, you know, coming out, he should be. So there are both high end athletes, obviously Trayvon Walker, the highest of high, but it's not like Aiden Hutchinson is a slouch himself. Like this guy, and his three cone that he ran at the combine, 6.73, is a freakish time for a guy that size.
Yeah, it's wide receiver time. I was asking someone yesterday if you could believe when watching Georgia. I watched them back in 2020. I went back and watched that tape, and they gave up 40 points twice. Once to Alabama and once to Florida. You realize they had all of the guys they have now, plus Jermaine Johnson, Azeez Ojulari, Stokes up at Green Bay, Tyson Campbell, and oh, by the way, a kid named LeCount that was all SEC and was their spiritual and emotional leader at safety. And I'm sitting here like thinking, how in the hell did they get better by losing all of those guys and just bringing guys up from behind?
I mean, one, physical advancement in college, yeah, but like they truthfully should have been better. Defenses were under attack, though, in the COVID year with, you know, no fans in the stands and everything that entailed, and not having, obviously, off seasons for install and whatnot. So it could explain away a little bit of that. But my Lord, like that 2020 roster with Jermaine Johnson, with all the guys they had, is going to go down as an all-timer. Like it's up there with, you know, the ones that gets brought up a bunch, like 03 Miami and all those. Like it's going to be talked about for a while here.
Yeah, and don't mention, I told somebody that Jalen Carter might be better than everybody.
Yeah.
And he's there now. He's probably a guy on your list right now. He might be better than all of them.
That's the one, like, worry when everyone brings up, you know, oh, Trayvon Walker, like, the scheme, whatever. That's why he wasn't productive. Well, go watch Jalen Carter, who was, like, in the same scheme and just, like, he was trouncing dudes. But, again, he's a guy who's going to be a top five pick next year. So, comparing top five picks, you're haggling over an insane amount of talent there in that Georgia defense.
I'm going to ask Mike in our second segment, what would he do if he were the Jags GM? And I'm sure the answer is going to be extremely interesting. I'll do that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. After I tell you guys about Blue Nile, you want to buy a Mother's Day gift that's worth the memories that you'll get. Blue Nile is where you need to go, man, because I'm just trying to tell you, the fine jewelry that you get at Blue Nile is something that your mom or your wife will never, ever forget. Whether she prefers a statement piece or everyday subtle elegance, BlueNile.com has the jewelry options for every mom. Shop high-quality classic diamond earrings, elegant tennis bracelets, or gemstone pendants and necklaces. Now, I'm talking like this for a reason, because moms are extremely special, and they love to receive special gifts on their special day. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. Make sure you use the promo code Locked On and you'll get $50 off of $500. This podcast exclusively it's the only offer, and we're the only place where you can get this exclusive Mother's Day offer. It's Locked On is your promo code, and make sure you tap into Blue Nile and get your mother a great, great gift for Mother's Day. All right, we're rolling along here with Mike Renner at PFF underscore Mike. Mike, I'm going to make you GM of the Jaguars or Doug Peterson or whoever. I'm just going to make you the guy that's absolutely in charge of this choice. Based on what they have on their roster, based on the fact that they've already, they're trying to work an extension out with Cam Robinson before the deadline. He did sign his tender to be franchise tag for the second straight year. There's also talk between edge rushers and offensive linemen. First, position-wise, what would you do and explain why the value would be there for you?
I mean, if there was a Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater in this class, I'd probably lean offensive tackle. Like, I do agree that you need to upgrade that offensive line. It is still an issue. And that, obviously, Cam Robinson's kind of, with that franchise tag, a stopgap at best, it's seemingly at this point. And even if you do work out a long-term deal, I don't think it's going to have a lot of guaranteed money, and I wouldn't, you know, be making him my left tackle of the future. So if there was a guy there, I would do it. I just don't think these guys are. I don't think any of these guys are necessarily feel good about them coming in and being a day one pass protector. At that point, if you're not going to upgrade pass protection by drafting one at the top, I would lean edge rusher, more valuable position, maybe not more valuable, but does get paid more at the NFL level. And there are some talented ones in this class. And I would probably lean that, considering the talent at each position in this class.
And since you made that decision to go edge rusher, did I leave anyone out of the conversation when I was discussing edge rushers? Would you be looking to move back, or would you keep the pick? And if you did, who would you take?
I mean, I'd obviously be looking to move back. One edge rusher, I don't care if it's, you know, Von Miller in his prime, ain't moving the needle enough for this Jaguars defense. I need more talent than just that, obviously. So I would be looking to move back. It's easier said than done, though. Someone's got to be looking to move up, and there's just not going to be anyone. This class is not talented enough at the top end to do so. So at that point, staying at number one overall, I'm taking Aiden Hutchinson. I think it's the easiest W in this draft class. You've seen him dominate at college football. He's a high-end athlete. At that point, you feel very good about him producing on an NFL field. Will he ever be Myles Garrett? No, he ain't going to look like that, but could he be a Pro Bowler? Sure. Yeah, he is for sure has the traits and athletic tools to become a Pro Bowler, and obviously is very far enough advanced that I have high faith in him becoming at least a productive player, which is truthfully something they need after the last two drafts.
Absolutely. And folks have been asking me all day of those four guys. Fans around here are kind of used to the Jags screwing stuff up, right? So they go, well, it's the Jaguars, so they're going to mess it up. And I'm thinking, like, if it's one of the four guys they're talking about, I don't think it's possible to screw it up, really. And I know everybody thinks that I prefer Trevon, and I probably do a little bit, because I think with certain guys, here's the problem I've had with Jacksonville. When those guys outside of 2017, when that team walks out of the tunnel, and this is a very rudimentary, elementary way of looking at things, but when they walk out of that tunnel, I just count the bad asses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There you go. That's our team. And I just don't think we've had enough dudes like that. After they let Jalen Ramsey go, and when they had Yannick and Calais, and even Leonard Fournette, I kind of felt like, okay, if a fight breaks out, which a football game will turn into a fight if it's highly contested, if a fight breaks out, we got some dudes that's going to do something. And I think, yeah, and I just think the Jaguars have messed that up so bad. But I don't think they could go wrong, and I'm with you. I like the tackles. I like the tackles because of the envision I have of them protecting Trevor Lawrence. I like the edge rushers. I like an edge rusher that we haven't mentioned, and we only mentioned him because we were talking about Georgia. I like Jermaine Johnson for some reason, and it would not shock me if 4 years from now he ends up being better than all of these guys.
Very good. Yeah. I do think, though, I just want to get one take off on this conversation of Trevon versus Aiden. And like you're saying, dudes, the thing that I don't think gets brought up enough with Trevon is that, like, he's kind of still – filling out his frame. Like, to me, he reminds me, everyone makes like the Alden Smith comp. To me, he reminds me more of like Eric Armstead. And you just used a first round pick on a guy like Kalyvon Chaisson. And if you draft Aiden Hutchinson, you're basically giving up on Kalyvon Chaisson. But to me, I think Trevon could be that interior presence of get up to 290 or so. And his get off and that physicality at like three technique, I think he could be a game changer in a role like that. That everyone's kind of just saying, oh, it's between Aiden and Trevon on the edge. Like, I think he could even play a different role or a different position that to me, isn't getting talked about enough. That could be like the deciding factor in that discussion.
You did mention, when you mentioned Armstead, that makes me think about a poor man's Eric Armstead. Yeah. I thought we stopped. Eric Armstead is very similar to Calais Campbell. Yeah. And when people talk about his ability to rush and not rush, you remember Calais was in Arizona and he had 9 sacks once, and other outside of that, he averaged like 6 sacks a year. The mm-hmm. first year he got away when he came to Jacksonville, he had 14.5. And I think sometimes we don't understand what it is coaches ask guys to do. Now, when you're picking number one, it usually shouldn't matter. And I just know Trent Baalke. It's not necessarily what I would do. I'm thinking about what he's thinking. And he's always been a guy that has gone for these traits. Like last year, when everyone thought they should have taken Asante Samuel Jr., he took Tyson Campbell. And it looked like a bad decision for about 6 weeks until Tyson Campbell finally figured it out and started getting. Do you? I'm going to ask you in our next segment, risers and fallers. I talked to my buddy James Rapine today about risers and fallers and guys that may come up. Quay Walker's name has come up, and I mentioned Logan Hall. I would not be shocked, because of the same reasons we just talked about, if one or both of those guys sneak into the first round. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get your opinion on them and get your opinion on some of the other guys in the draft, because you do this all the time. You do this year round, and you really invest a lot of time in it. We'll do that in just a second here with Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. We'll get to it in just a second after I tell you about Built Bar. I've been telling you about Built Bar now for at least 3 years, and if you haven't tasted one, then you're just hard-headed, because you need to get the best taste of protein bar in the world into your system. Built Bar has so many great flavors, and the main flavor is the fact that they're covered with 100% chocolate. 100% chocolate, that's right, just like a candy bar. And they have the Built Puffs that are protein-infused marshmallows, and they taste fabulous as well. Just got a little bit different texture, and it's more like a treat, whereas Built Bar is really just like a candy bar. You can try them both by going to built.com and enter the promo code LOCK15. You enter the LOCK15 promo code, you're going to get 15% off your next order. Now, my favorite one is salted caramel. You need to figure out which one is your favorite one, and the only way you can do that is you got to try it. So go to built.com, enter the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order of Built Bar. And we're back here. We ain't really went nowhere, because we never leave. We're always around here on Locked On Jaguars. We're free on all platforms, and we thank you for making us your first listen. I have to remind you guys about our NFL draft events. Come this Thursday, we combined, first of all, the mock draft is out, the ultimate mock draft with Odyssey, as well as the rest of the Locked On crew. We did that. That's out right now. Check that out. I did pick Trayvon Walker, and then I traded back up into the first round with the Bills, and we took Devontae Wyatt. So we went double dose of Georgia. And you can see the real draft this Thursday, April 28th at 7 p.m. on the Locked On NFL YouTube and on the Odyssey app. Make sure you come tune in. I'll be on that as well as the Jaguars make their first pick. My man Mike Renner says he would have made his first pick, and it would have been Aiden Hutchinson, and I cannot knock him for that. Mike, you study all year. You study all year round, and you say you get to this point, and all of a sudden, it's probably a little melodramatic, and then it's probably fun for you on day three, too, as well, because you know all of these dudes. So day three is probably just as exciting, because I've heard in that industry that is the time for the scouts to shine, baby. That is when you make your money. So guys that do this for a long time, talk to me about some of those guys on day three that you really probably think could make a nice run in the NFL.
Yeah, day three is when you prove your worth by just finding anyone who could make a roster, contribute whatsoever. If you can get a guy who doesn't look out of place in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, your money. That's all you need. A couple of the guys I like probably on day three, I'll give you a cornerback out of LSU named Cordell Flott. I am not sure why he declared. He's been playing slot for them, even though he's really not he's 175 pounds. He's not right. A slot cornerback whatsoever. He's probably going to be an outside cornerback in the NFL. But really feisty from the slot. Probably would have played outside if he came back for his senior year, but obviously declares early. He's only 20 years old, won't turn 21 until later. But the guy plays super physical for his size, and I think he's still, if you put 15, 20 pounds on this guy, now obviously that's a big if. I think he's a guy who could contribute and be a starter in time as an outside corner. And then another guy I really love on day three, if you're looking for a running back, that guy that always goes on day three and all of a sudden produces like your Elijah Mitchell this year, to me, it's Rashad White from Arizona State. High-end athlete. When he gets out in the open field, he can make guys miss in his sleep. I think he's a really natural receiver. I think he could even play receiver if you gave him some time to develop there. He just is a very gifted athlete that's what wins more often than not at the NFL level at the running back position. A lot of guys have vision. A lot of guys can play within an offense, but not a lot of guys can go above and beyond, break tackles, that sort of thing. To me, Rashad White can. So those are two guys I would love to have in the fold somewhere fourth, fifth, sixth round.
Man, see, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about, man. When you have guys who've studied this stuff year round and you don't have to even go look, you just pop it out of your head just like that. One of my guys, I'll get your opinion on him real quick, and it's because of a personal connection that I know. I had a guy tell me yesterday morning that Michael McFadden is going to play 10 years in the NFL because he knows all three positions. And he says, if you watch his tape, you'll realize when they blitzed him at Indiana, he had like a 95% win rate where he actually tracked the ball. And for what that means he can play special teams too. What's your opinion on Michael McFadden and guys like that? Because the Jaguars will be in the market for a linebacker.
Yes, 100%. And obviously the Jaguars are going to be, I believe, blitzing a little bit more this upcoming season with their linebackers. McFadden is a fantastic blitzer. I mean, he comes with bad intentions. I believe he was the highest graded off-ball linebacker in terms of pass rushing grade here at PFF that we have this past season. Not necessarily the traitsiest, but like you said, that'll translate to special teams out the gate. He will be a core special teamer, and like you said, probably have a roster spot for a long time because of it, and be a guy that you're one first and second down type of linebacker, your goal line package linebacker that can actually send a thump into a fullback, B or maybe Sam linebacker in your defense. That's probably his role. You're probably not drafting him for a three down role in coverage, has some athletic limitations, a little bit stiff, but in a two down, in a thumper type of role, that's your dude.
Man, you sound exactly like this guy who I talked to. And then I even talked to one of the assistant GMs, and I texted him, and he said he's on our radar, and that's exactly what you just said is exactly what they felt about him. So you all three of you guys think alike. I talked to you about a couple of guys that might creep up into the first round. Mm-hmm. Logan Hall, big, long, rangy. I don't even know where he plays. Is he a big end? Is he a five technique? Is he a three technique? And then Quay Walker from Georgia. He was almost a forgotten man, and then he went and weighed in. He was 243 with arms as long as train smoke, and he's 6'4". I don't know what he plays either. I don't know if he's a Sam, if he's a Mike, if they're going to try to eventually make him a pass rusher. Tell me about those two guys and the prospects that they may have of sneaking up into the first.
Quay's going in the first round, Quay Walker. I would be floored if he doesn't, just because of what the NFL covets. To me, he's like a better version of Jamin Davis. Like Jamin Davis sneaks into at 19 last year, kind of rose up, similar late rise. Revan's like, who's Jamin Davis? Oh, he's now the 19th overall pick because he's a super high-end athlete, Quay Walker. But to me, he's a lot smoother in coverage already than Jamin Davis does. He has much better hips. Like if you want this guy tracking tight ends down the seam, he can do it with ease. But then he can also take on blocks, also win one-on-one as a pass rusher. They even used him to set the edge sometimes at Georgia in that defense. He is just a versatile, long body that basically a moldable piece of clay to put into your defense that, yeah, it's a little worrisome that he still was split in time as a senior in Georgia's defense, but, you know, a unique situation there with all the talent that Georgia does have defensively. So that's a guy that I think he's going to get drafted ahead of his teammate, N'Kobe Dean, truthfully, even if Dean was kind of the captain of that defense. Walker, just a more projectable guy. Logan Hall is interesting to me because he came in 283 pounds, the Houston defensive tackle, and he played three technique at Houston. And so at 283 pounds, at 6'6", you're kind of like, is he a defensive tackle? Is he a 4-5 technique? Is he an edge rusher? I'm not really certain where he's going to play at the next level, but I will say this guy was 255 pounds playing three tech at Houston early on in his career. And him being undersized is not new. So he has won consistently as a pass rusher, despite that size limitation, to where if you can talk to, you know, strength and conditioning coach at Houston, he can promise you this guy can put on 15 or so more pounds. That guy could sneak in the first round for sure, because, you know, 4.8, 3.40 at that size, what he can do athletically at that size, that's what everyone's looking for. So I do think that he's a strong candidate to go to someone like the Packers, who are in need of a position like that, someone there at the back end of the first round.
That's interesting. And the more you, when I sit here and listen to you describe Quay Walker, I'm sitting there thinking, oh man, he's going to the Patriots. That'd be perfect for him.
That's my mock. My mock's up right here on my computer. He's going 21 to the Patriots. And that's, it's like a Jamie Collins sort of clone.
Yeah. And, you know, I think about them, and Teddy Bruschi was a nose guard at Arizona. And then all of a sudden, they made Teddy Bruschi a outside linebacker, and then they made him a Mike linebacker. And now he's a legendary New England Patriot. So Belichick knows how to find guys and just, hey, this is what I want you to do. Do the thing that you do the best. I hope the Jaguars have good fortune, man. I'm sitting here thinking that they need some help at wide receiver, but I don't think the value is going to be there. In fact, Doug Peterson has sort of said that this receiving year is not a lot of depth. There's some guys up top. So that doesn't bode well for a team that's picking first, which is too high. And then by the time you get to 33, there might not be anybody left. And if they are, they're probably like a Sky Moore, who's basically Christian Kirk, who you just signed. So If there's a wide receiver you think at 33 is worthy, do you know who it is? Is it George Pickens? Do they go back, you know, to Athens and take that guy?
That, so if there is going to be a number one type of wide receiver, like a go-to type, that's who it would be. And it's because of the off-field issues. It's because of the ACL and barely playing this past fall. That would be the one guy who has that sort of alpha dog traits at that point in the draft. Because I do think wide receivers go early. And not only do I think teams are warming up to the idea after seeing what Jamar Chase did last year and how it transformed the Bengals, how Justin Jefferson, what he did 2 years ago, warming up to the idea of let's just take the chance on wide receiver. Like, you need weapons in today's NFL. So not only do I think they go early, but then you also have the Packers, who desperately need it right in front of them with two picks. You have the Chiefs, who desperately need one right in front of them. So I do think you'll see a run, and you might see somewhere in the neighborhood of like seven wide receivers go in the first round here.
Wow. That's a lot. Yeah. Who's the first quarterback taken? Who's the first quarterback taken, and who's the best? I think the first going, I'm going to tell you, I think Malik's going to go first. I would take Desmond Ridder. I got a weird feeling that he's just going to be really, really good, man. I think he'll pick up a little weight and he'll have a real Alex Smith type career.
Interesting. I have Malik Willis as quarterback one. I'm truthfully not high in any of these guys. I do think he ends up being the first quarterback taken. I just think he's got the highest ceiling. Like, the traits are off the charts, like rushing ability, arm strength. It's all there, but it's just, it might be year three, year four before he could even like start and realistically be a passer at the NFL level. So that's the worry in this class. I think he goes first, though. I do think somewhere maybe in the top 10 to 12, but I don't think there's any run on quarterbacks in this first round. I just don't see it. You talk to any evaluator and there's no one who's, you know, to take quarterback in the first round, it's a commitment, and you have to be able to fall in love with them. And there's just no one who's fallen in love with, truthfully, any of these guys after Malik.
Especially with what's coming next year, you don't want to commit to a guy and then next year. I know people are, you know, some people are in and out on the kid in Alabama, but ain't nobody in and out on that kid in Columbus. I'll tell you that. Not with that big arm that he has. And then like Will Anderson, and we mentioned Jalen Carter and all of those top end guys that are coming out next year. Mike, it's been fun, man. I know you need to probably get some sleep because you're going to be up working it. Make sure everybody, you guys follow Mike on Twitter. Mike does a really, really good job with PFF. Austin, get all of those guys. They do a wonderful job. So it's at @PFF_Mike. And that's Mike Renner. And we appreciate you joining us. I'm Tony Wiggins here with Locked On Jaguars. You do what I always tell you, man. Y'all take care of each other. We got one more day. One more day and y'all can start liking me again. All right. Take care of each other and we'll see you on tomorrow.